today on the Bill Kelly Show on 900 CHML.
Call for a total revamp of the Global Affairs Department. I mean, let's face it, Canada is trying to play a larger role in global affairs these days, but are we up to it? Do we have the personnel? Joining us to talk about this is Oral Brown, who is a professor of international relations and a senior member of the Monk School of Global Affairs at the University of Toronto. Professor, pleasure to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning.
You've seen some of the criticisms about the department as it stands and as it has been working right now. One of them, of course, is that the department has been slow to react to international affairs. They say there's some legitimacy to that. People they think are not trained properly to work in foreign service. What's your read on what's going on there and what needs to happen?
These criticisms are not new, and they're not unique to Canada. But we have to look at the larger picture, and that is that Canada has become an ever more important player in the international system. We are now a country with a population that is reaching 40 million. We have a GDP almost the size of that of Italy's. And consequently, we not only have a large international footprint that is growing, we are part of the G7, we are part of the G20, but we also have obligations. And so we need to have the diplomatic corps that can carry that out. We need to improve both, grow the size, and also improve the quality of our diplomatic representation, which means better training, more language skills, more embassies, more consulates around the world. Diplomacy is essential in terms of power. It is viewed as soft power, but it works with other forms of power. It is both symbolic and it is substantive. And I think in many ways, this overhaul is long overdue.
A friend of mine who used to work in government told me in this regard, because as you say, these are not new criticisms, that you have to have a presence. In other words, he said to be heard, you have to be seen. In other words, you have to have a presence on a global nature, whether it's, as you said, consulates or embassies, which I guess suggests that we need a lot of ramping up to do if we want to be a player in the international scene, don't we?
We absolutely do. And the focus shouldn't be just on the United Nations, because the United Nations absorbs a huge amount of money and energy, but it doesn't have that much effect. It was tested very heavily during the past year with the invasion by Russia of Ukraine, and it has failed, basically, the United Nations, as the League had failed in 1935-36. And so we have to think more broadly. We are facing Russia as part of NATO. We are facing Russia because we have troops deployed in Latvia. But we cannot just run everything out of our embassy in Latvia. We need to have embassies in Estonia as well as Lithuania. So we have to move on that. And it almost begs the question, why did we not do this before? So this is something that is part of right-sizing Canada, of matching our diplomatic abilities with our economic impact. Now, having said that, we also have to recognize that we are looking at power. And when you look at power, that is a composite. It is not only soft power, it is also hard power. So it is fine and it is overdue to enlarge, to improve our diplomatic capabilities, but we have really minuscule military capabilities compared to our size. And I don't see a parallel move to really significantly, dramatically increase that really tiny military capability that we have, which we had allowed over years to run down. And we are nowhere close to spending 2% of the GDP. That is the goal. We are not able to provide our armed forces, even now, with all the equipment that they need. So there has to be a parallel development. We have to understand how power works internationally. Yes, you have diplomatic representation, which is both symbolic and substantive, but you also need to have a physical capability. You have to demonstrate that you can make the kind of contribution in terms of having a deterrent against dictatorships, of being effective in helping allies, that is credible.
And that's one of the concerns. I know you and I have talked about this in the past, that even the staff that are currently in that department, they say is far too Ottawa-centric. There are too many people in Ottawa and not out in other places. But the other element to this, too, is you can't look at this in isolation, can you, Professor? You can't just say, okay, we need to get more diplomats. If you don't have the strength to back it up and the numbers to back it up, even from a military basis right now, your voice is going to get lost in the rabble, isn't it?
Well, that is exactly what happens internationally, that yes, it is fine to have good diplomatic skills. It is important to have representation. But countries will also ask, what other contributions can you make? And yes, economic help is useful. Foreign aid plays a role. But we live in a geopolitical system where violence, sadly, is endemic, where dictatorships prevail over, at least in numbers, over democracies. Where when we look at Ukraine, we might say, as it was said yesterday by a candidate running for United States leadership, that the fight in Ukraine might not necessarily be our fight, but the fight for democracy is our fight. So even those who may be somewhat isolationists have to understand that the promotion and preservation of democracy means that you have the right combination of soft and hard power. So I'm certainly encouraged that we are trying to improve our soft power. It is essential, but it is not an either-or situation. And we ought to appreciate that just as we make an argument that is very plausible for this expansion and improvement at global affairs, we cannot neglect the Department of Defense.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. One goes with the other. Professor, thank you so much for the time today. A very, very important subject. And as we say, I'm hoping the government takes that broad view of things. Have a great weekend. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. Professor Earl Brown from the University of Toronto.
The Bill Kelly Show, weekdays from 9 to noon on 900 CHML.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.